The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
We are living in a physical world. Yet, there are things that are unseen in this world. And we need to understand that there's more to this world than what we experience with our physical senses. Romans 1 verse 20, it's talking about knowing God through the creation of the world. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. From the beginning of time, God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen. He reveals himself to us. So the Bible here is telling us that from the beginning of time until today, there is something that we can't see, but it is very apparent. If we look at creation, at the world, at the universe in which we live, and you think that all this happened by chance, then you are determined to deny God's existence. Because you can't look at what the creation of this world is. You can't look at everything that God's created. You can't hold a brand new baby and think that there is no God, that this stuff just happened. If you think that, you are not living by faith at all. In fact, Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We can't see God, yet the Bible asks us to have faith that the spiritual world gives a rise to the physical material world. So the spiritual world created the physical world. The spiritual world is very real. Even though a lot of times we don't want to think about it, we don't want to accept what the Bible actually is telling us. In fact, in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to just throw away and deny our physical senses and everything has to be spiritual. That's not what that is saying. But it is saying that there's a physical world that you and I live in, but we need to worship God spiritually. We need to worship God with our soul and in our entirety of who we are, not just the physical aspect of us. We live in a physical world, and we need to be human. We need to use our physical senses. Now listen to this. Being weird does not make you more spiritual. All right? Let's just say it. If you're driving, and you and I are in a car, and we're driving, and you come down here to the intersection, or we're over at Natchitoches, and we're fixing to get on I-49, okay? You don't need to pray for direction or what to do. You understand? You need to slow down and look both ways, okay? You need to check for oncoming traffic. And if you're not going to do that, please slow down and let me out of the vehicle. We need to understand you're not there looking and trying to receive God's word on whether to go, push the gas, or hit the brake. Turn your head and look. So we live in a physical world, and God wants us to live practically in the world that we live in, to have some common sense, to live like human beings in the world that He created, like the human being that He created us to be. There's some common sense stuff that God wants us to do. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If a man won't work, neither shall he eat. Well, that's pretty much some common sense stuff there, isn't it? If you want to buy some food at the grocery store, you better get yourself a job and get some money. God's Word. He uses things, these things, that are practical to teach us about the spiritual. God's Word talks about farming. It talks about fishing. Talks about building things and carpentry. Well, it makes sense. Jesus grew up with his dad as a carpenter. It talks about relationships and families. It talks about the things that we see, the physical in the world, and he uses those things to teach us about the spiritual world. God wants us to live and to use our physical senses. But in order to understand this visible world that we can see, in order to really understand it, a lot of times, we need to understand the things that we can't see. We need to understand the spiritual things in order to explain the world that we're living in. The spirit world is not just God and his angels. Listen, we understand that that's true. James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. God provides us with so much. It's easy to accept that spiritual aspect of the spiritual world. But there's also Satan and his demons. Sometimes the best way to explain something that's gone on in the world is just to say that it's evil. It's just evil. There's no other way to explain it. How else can you explain things that have gone on in our world throughout history, even up into today? How can you explain the Holocaust except that it's evil? How can you explain September 11th except to say that it was evil? How could you explain October 7th, the attack on Israel, except to say that it was evil? How can you explain school shootings? How can you explain murders? How can you explain rapes? How can you explain children being beaten and abused, except to say that it's evil? Sometimes we just have to accept that Satan is out there and his demons are out there doing their job. And things are evil. No other way to explain it. And we need to understand that the spiritual world plays a huge role in this world. The spiritual world plays a huge role in your life. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. We battle a spiritual battle. And we need to understand that Satan and his demons are real. And they're out there to do evil in the world and to create chaos, to stop anything that is God-worthy. Even the little things. Listen, anything that our local churches are doing, if God's hand is in it, Satan will throw a wrench into it as quick as he can if we will allow it. And unfortunately, sometimes Satan uses our own personal attitudes and opinions about things. We have to be careful. Satan is out there doing what he does best. In Acts chapter 16, we see Paul and Silas on a missionary trip. And in verse 16 of that chapter, it says, "Now it happened as we went to pray that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us. She brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.'" Now, it didn't happen once. Verse 18 said, "And this she did for many days." Can you imagine if you're going around, Manny, and somebody's following you around, hollering at you, saying, "This is servants of the Most High God." Just continue on and on and on. You try to talk to somebody and there that demon-possessed individual is just hollering while you're trying to visit with someone, just trying to stir up stuff, cause chaos in your life. Satan does that. Satan does it. And here's another thing that you have to understand. This was a young slave girl. But the demon knew who Paul and Silas were. If you're out there doing God's work, you better know Satan. Take note. Satan knows. His demons know. They're out looking. They're going to and fro across the earth, looking for whom they can devour, whom they can destroy, whom they can distract from God's work. You see, Satan doesn't have to destroy you. He's just got to distract you to keep you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. Here, this demon was trying to distract Paul and Silas. We know that Satan knows Jesus and knows his workers, his followers. Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 28, Jesus is teaching outside the synagogue, and a man with an unclean spirit comes up and approaches him. And in verse 24, Mark 1, 24, it says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Verse 25, Jesus rebuked the demon. "Be silent and come out of him." And the man convulsed and the demon shrieked and left the man. Satan knows who Jesus is. James 2:19, "You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe that and tremble." Satan knows who he's up against. The demons know who they're up against. And at the name of Jesus, they tremble. Let's go back to Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Paul gets frustrated with this demon-possessed young lady following him around day after day, just causing chaos and disruption, not allowing him to complete the task that he felt led to do. In verse 18, Paul turns around to the young girl and said to the spirit. Now, he didn't say it to the young girl. He called the spirit out. And he said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." But what happens next is kind of unrational for you and I to think of. It's not logical that we think this way. But the demon does leave the girl. But then when he leaves the girl loses her ability to tell fortunes. And so the slave owners get frustrated. And they stir up the people of the city. They drag Paul and Silas before the magistrate. And Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison. So we see what's happened here. The physical world, the slave owners, the men, they lost the ability to make money with this slave girl. So they get angry. In the spiritual world, Satan and his demons were angered because the demon was cast out. Because by the name of Jesus, they have to leave. By the name of Jesus, they have to bow down. And they're angry. So between the physical world, the men being angry, and between the spiritual world, Satan being angry, the whole town is stirred up. Problems and chaos commence. Anger grew and manifested itself in Paul and Silas being beaten, being thrown into prison. We have to have enough spiritual awareness to see what's happening around us, to realize that it's not just physical things that we're battling, but it's spiritual. We have to see that evil is behind lots of things that we face in this world that surround us. Things that are not logical, that don't make sense to us. We have to give them the name evil. It doesn't make sense for us to kill babies, the most innocent creatures on this world, on this earth. Doesn't make sense. It's evil. Doesn't make sense to allow men to play women's sports. Doesn't make sense to allow men to go into a restroom with our wives and daughters. That doesn't make sense. Evil. Doesn't make sense. It's not logical to give children medication that's going to stop and change their hormone process and growth to change their gender. That does not make sense. Children do not know what they want to be when they're older. If you ask most boys, they want to be a policeman or a cowboy. You ask girls, they want to be a princess or a nurse. You can't ask a 3, 4, 5-year-old if they want to change their gender. They don't even know what that means. It's evil to think that we as a nation would allow that kind of stuff. And I'm not even going to get started on the other things that our government does or doesn't do. The way they spend tax dollars, the things that they allow. It's chaos. You can't define it any other way except Satan doing his job. We watch things going on around us that aren't logical, but they are so destructive. It's a spiritual warfare that's happening. Battles that are taking place. And all these battles have consequences. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God wants us to stand up against evil. God wants us to be careful and make sure that evil does not overtake us, our families, our community, our churches, our country, our world. God wants us to stand up. We have to rely on God's power, God himself, as we stand against Satan's schemes. We have to rely on God's power and his armor to fight spiritual battles. But we also have to use our physical senses in the battles too. Be careful that you don't send your children out with people that might endanger them. Be careful you don't allow your children to hang around people that might influence them in a manner that would harm them and harm the choices that they make. Make sure that you and I don't spend our free time hanging out with people that would drag us down. We need to make sure we put every effort to protect in our family and be honest with ourselves that there are people out there that would love to harm us and harm our children. We need to use the spiritual and the physical. We need to pray. We need to read the Bible. We need to meditate or study on God's Word. And then we need to look both ways when we're driving. And we need to carry a gun. Because prayer and love works. But so does a 357. We have to see the evil around us. And we have to call it out. Too many times, Christians, we're too silent. We want to use churchy words like compassion. Well, we need to be compassionate. Sometimes we need to say wrong is wrong. We need to stand up and be the men and women God wants us to be. Call it out. Vote it out. We need to be a tool that God can use. Things that I've already mentioned are evil. And we need God's power. I don't care how good our hospitals are. I need God's healing hand. I don't care how good our schools and our teachers are. Parents and grandparents, teach your children to follow God. Don't you ever think some politician is going to make the difference. We need to rely on God to make the difference. Now we need good godly men and godly women to run for positions in politics. There's no question. There's no question. We need people to stand up for God in those areas. But it takes action. We need to see the spiritual battles that are going on around us. But unfortunately, the thing is, we can't see the invisible. We can't see the things that are in the spiritual realm. But we can see the evil around us in the physical realm, in our world. And you got to know that Satan is behind it. You've got to know that Satan and his demons are at work. Deuteronomy 6:18. Do what is right in the Lord's sight. When you see that evil around, we got to stand up and do what's right. James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you know what's right, and you know you need to stand up and say something, and you don't, well, your silence is sin for you. My silence is sin for me if I don't stand up and say what's right and wrong. Let me tell y'all, one of the hardest things to ever do is to stand up and say, no, that's wrong. Because people are going to turn and look at you. People are going to say things about you and talk about you. Well, let me tell you, I'd rather them talk about me than God look down and be saddened because I didn't do what he asked me to do. We better be more concerned about God. You better be more concerned about what God thinks than what I think. And God calls us to stand up We need to understand the spiritual world so we can know how to live in the physical world. Are we seeking God? Are we looking to do what's right in the Lord's sight? Are we using our physical senses? Are we being smart? Are we having common sense in today's world? We need to protect our spiritual lives, of ourselves, our family, our friends, our churches. But at the same time, we need to protect the physical lives also. Are we doing what we need to be doing? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today and we thank you so much for loving us. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be here, to hear your word. And Lord, I pray that we'd apply this to our lives. So many times we look at the physical and we don't think about the spiritual aspect of things. But Lord, the spiritual was here long before the physical. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here today that needs to make a decision, that today would be the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.